Amen.
Amen.
Bless the God of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
His ways are past finding out. You can't find them out. He just reveals some things to you. That's right. Amen. What you know is what he told you. That's right. He don't tell you, you don't know it. The only witness you got is his inward witness, voice in spirit. We have the witness of God. He is the witness of God. His record's the witness of God. His death, burial, and resurrection is the witness of God. In us, we died with him.
Sure did.
Thank God, rose with him. Praise God for the good testifying. Anybody else? God's touching your heart. The Holy Ghost wants you to say something. I'm going to read a few verses here in chapter Matthew 21. They come to Jesus, and they always ask him questions. Jesus always knew what to answer according to who asked him. You know, a lot of times I think in the Word of God that these people that always tried to trap him, try to get him to say something that they could accuse him, but he always confounded them on some things that they was trying to find out. And they asked him, by what authority did he have to do what he did? He said, and when he was come into the temple, in verse 23, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority? They didn't like what he was saying. He was amongst religious people, Jews, that was blind. Jesus answered and said unto them, I also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? They reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? Amen. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? This is what he said. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go. He asked him the same thing, and he answered and said, I go, sir. And went not. Jesus looked at them, whither them twain did the will of his father. And they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, chief priests, elders, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you, again he's talking to them, always recognize who the Lord's talking to. He's talking to the chief priests, elders of the people. John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So Jesus dealt with these men that were very religious. They were chief priests. They were rulers within their religion, in Judaistic way. And the Bible said here that he spake to them about really wouldn't believe in John. God, when he revealed the fact that the Son of God was here, and they did not believe him. They didn't recognize it. They didn't see it. Amen. They had a word of religion, but they never had no repentance. Repentance is something that you have to have. It's just the way it is. Amen, brother, and listen. Amen, repentance toward God. Amen, you're going to have to repent toward him if you get born twice, after you're born again. And I know and understand some things about being born again, because it takes it for any man to have any life to make an act toward God. He's got to be quickened to do it. And I know that. And I know, brother, a dead man can't do nothing because he's dead toward God. Not dead in life in general. Not dead that he can't hear what I'm saying, but dead to the quickening works inwardly in a man that needs it, amen, to have this life given to him. Amen. Repentance is a turn. That's what it is. It's a change of mind. Amen. It changes your mind. It quickens you in your own thoughts and lets you know, thank God, this is the truth, and you must do it if you're going to be, thank God, one of his. And one thing that never changed, far as what I look at from the old to the new, was a man forsaking his way, amen, and turning to God. How many times did God tell Israel, amen, that thank God they need to turn, consider their ways, amen, but they couldn't turn until they seen, thank God, what he was saying was the truth, because the truth makes a man free. No man's free this morning unless he knows the truth. Thank God, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. I'll tell you this, more truth you get in, the freer you'll be. Amen. He is the truth. You don't get no more him. But what he says gets into you, and you learn of me, he said. Thank God, and you become, thank God, more freer in the way of God, the ways of God, knowing him, thank God, deeper. And listen, the more you're around him, amen, the more you know about him. Amen. And the more, thank God, you hear from him, amen, you get deeper in it. I think that's right. I think the whole thing is, amen, it's simplicity, but it takes, amen, revelation to get the simplicity. Amen. Simplicity don't come first. Revelation comes first. But simplicity comes after the revelation of who he is and what he did and what he's doing and what the plan of God is. It was set up in him, amen, before the world began. Thank God to reveal to us in time. And I think that's right. Amen. The mystery was the church. God, they want to know, what's this church? Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Amen. That was a church. Thank God, it wasn't a building he was talking about. He was talking about a people. Thank God, that had the revelation, that knew who he was. Boy, you better get a hold of that. I like that. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God, the revelation supernatural. It's something God has to do to you in your own heart. Amen. And give you the understanding of the grace of God in Christ. Amen. I saw a fella another night, and he said, are you saved? Amen. I said, well, yeah, I'm saved. Amen. I've heard the gospel of Christ and the revelation come to it on who he was. And when I believed upon him under the saving of my soul, thank God, I was made a new man. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, brother, that's the way it works. It's not in word, it's in God. Amen. The word is the God of heaven, and he became flesh and was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For I knew him not. Amen. But thank God, by him showing me who he was, I met him. Amen. I didn't know that. You didn't know that. You was blind to it. You couldn't see it. Amen. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ain't God, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't see it this morning unless you're born again. You born again. You ever been new, had a new birth? You got to. That one fella said, we was talking in a little restaurant. I went and fell and asked him, was he a preacher? He said, yeah. And I started talking to him, and this man said, I said, you must be born again. He said, that man said, you got to be. I said, that's right. That's the only way. Amen. Listen, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's right. That means you'll have to have a supernatural birth. It's a spirit birth. It births you into the kingdom of God. It births you up. It's a birth from above. It's not something you can do. Flesh and blood can't do it. It's a supernatural act of God. Listen, I was thinking about this morning of any child, any baby. Think about this. This is amazing. And I don't know much, Brother Todd. I mean, if I grow my beard back, I might look a little smarter. Amen. Thank God, but that ain't true. But I'll tell you this. Amen. Listen. And if you ever get anything, amen, from God, it's because it come through the Spirit. It's just a spiritual life. Amen. But think about just a natural birth, how these things can be. Amen. I mean, to take a man and his wife, amen, and the seed is planted in that woman, and it's conceived. And here, just look at yourself, fearfully and wonderfully made. How this happened? Can you explain to me fully how all that works? Amen. And how a child comes out with the way, amen, that thank God he is or she is, and the faculties of the body, the way everything is, amen. It's just a miracle, amen, that God would do that. And I look today, amen, listen, that's amazing, friend. Amen. Where it made, and thank God, in the likeness of him, amen, after Adam, amen, listen. Who was the first man? Listen, thank God when you look at him. Amen. Thank God to see the human race. Thank God it's a miracle. Amen. That we're living. Amen. It's amazing. I cannot conceive it in my mind. I got a real simple mind. I wish I knew more than I did. I do think in simplicity. And I think that's why God could talk to me about things, because I didn't know nothing. If you know something, then you got to get that out of the way for God to talk to you. Amen. But when I'm talking about spiritual things, you see, you try to figure out in your mind of how can these things be, like Nicodemus. But you can't figure it out. Amen. You can't figure it out. The gospel's not figured out. It's not believed by the natural mind. There's got to be something that changes in you. Amen. To get you to believe what the report is. Because it wouldn't even make sense. Amen. To think about the gospel and what Jesus did. And what all these Old Testament writers are, and actually think and believe that. Amen. Because listen, brother, amen, we've learned these things. We even went to Sunday school as a child and heard these things, how that Moses could stick a rod out over the ocean or the sea, the Red Sea, and God send this wind, thank God, into what thing parts, and they walk on that dry land to the other side. How can these things be? Amen. Hollywood's tried to duplicate a movie in it. But brother, it ain't even near what it is. Amen. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Thank God how God can do all these things. He's the same God. He's the same God. Amen. Listen, it's supernatural what he does. And brother, he done it in you. There would be no way you'd have it unless he done it. Amen. It's a miracle. It's God. Amen. Them little children that you hold in your arm, and they grow up. Everybody come in like that. It's a miracle. I don't know how it works. I wish I could tell you I knew how it works. I know there's a seed planted, and I know that in the womb of that mother, then that conception comes, and then that's life. A conception's life. Amen. Listen, that child, that when God conceives that child in that womb, that's life. Amen. That is a life. Brother, listen. Thank God all these people want to abort these children. Brother, that's murder. That's shedding blood. It's murder, friend. Amen. I believe this. I believe every child that was conceived in a womb, and they might not, my friend, they might have been a miscarriage. Listen, brother, that's still
and the authority of God himself. And I believe that was a person. I really do. I know some preachers don't believe that. Brother John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. Brother Jonathan, thank God, he heard the news and he leaped in his mother's womb. Thank God, was he a child then? Why is these bunch of hypocrites put a man in prison for killing a woman? Amen. He ought to put him in there for that. But there was a baby in her womb, and when he killed her, he killed the baby, and they got him for a double murder. But they can go to an abortion clinic and murder the child, and it ain't murder. I don't care if nobody don't like what I just said. God's truth. That's hypocrisy to the tilt. Our country's run by a bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to get off on that. I'll blow the message. But it's the truth. My hope ain't in the Republicans or the Democrats. Ain't none of it. I ain't worried about the election one bit. I ain't lost one minute of sleep. I'm going to tell you who's going to get in there, who God puts in there. I got a responsibility to write and do as a citizen what I'm supposed to do, but it's still up to the Almighty. And he'll put who he wants to in there. He sets up kings and he takes them down. And he'll fulfill his will, whatever it is, through that man that he allows to go in there, whether it's a man or a woman. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, listen. Amen. I'm for righteousness. I'm for right. Amen. But I'm telling you, brother, thank God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's right. Satan's the ultimate one that wrestles against us. He's the God, the little God of this world that was created by Jesus Christ. Lucifer was created by him for the purposes of God to fulfill that. He'll cast him right into the lake of fire one day. And I'm telling you what, he's letting him run a course that he's going to bring forth his will through. Amen. Because he's going to destroy him and all the enemies. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, this same Jesus, ain't God that left. Amen. Right there at the Mount of Olives is so coming in like manner. The same Jesus. I'm telling you, brother, listen. And he'll defeat that crowd as against Israel. Amen. People can say what they want to about me. I don't care whether they like it or not. God's eye still is on Israel. Still is. I believe this. You can study it out and think about it. I believe that being called up in 1 Thessalonians 4 said we should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall it be at the Lord. I believe, listen, I believe that's the church. And I believe when Jesus comes back the second time to earth and sets his feet on Mount Olives, that's dealing with Israel. I really believe that. I believe that's right. He said he'll come in like manner. When he ascended to the throne, he ever lives to make intercession on our behalf, Brother Todd. That, listen, they ain't no way he'll ever forsake his own. Never. Jesus will never forsake you, Trevor. You don't have to worry about it. Amen. Listen, he's interceding for you. Hey, God, you're in him. Amen. He'll never forsake you. That don't mean he likes everything we do sometimes, but it does mean, thank God, I'm representing that boy. And thank God, I know because of my representation, it's a done deal. The Holy Ghost, hear me, that's right, he bears witness. He said he told these men, he said, go out and work in my vineyard. One said, I will, and didn't go. And one said, I won't, and did go. Which one? He said, the publicans and the harlots, amen, will make it before you. I want to say this, there's three types of righteousness. I believe this is right. There's none righteous. That means you don't have none. You don't have no righteousness. That means that you don't have it. I don't care who you are. You are born a sinner. You got a sin nature. And you are God, a sinner before God. And brother, God is going to deal with you because of sin. There's none righteous. No man's righteous in himself. He can be the best boy you think, but he's none righteous. None. Ain't none. None of you's righteous. Not unless he's changed you. That's right. Then there's not only none righteous, but they're self-righteous. That means because of the law I've kept, what Paul said, Philippians 3, he said, I went about to establish my righteousness through the law. Let me tell you this, whether you can grab hold or not, all you're doing is trying to work your way to hell. You're going. Yeah, listen, friend, self-righteousness is the quickest way there. I'm doing this. I do that. I don't do this. I don't do that. All you're doing is telling me you're self-righteous. Listen to what law does. I'm testifying. It's right. The law only produces self-righteous people. Religious people. What are you talking about this morning? Law preaching in the church to keep a people to try to live or behave right, it nothing but bringing them under the captivity of the preacher that he might have rule over them and get them to do what he wants them to do. And I'm telling you this, the law was given for the unrighteous man. The law was to convict men. The law was show men that they're unrighteous and they have no righteousness, but they're self-righteous. Amen, listen, don't ever get in your mind, I'm better than they are because I go to church. No, you're not. You know what? If we could get every ounce of pride out of us and just get it out. I'm not that bad. That's pride. That's right. That's pride. I'm not as bad as he is. That's pride. Why? I didn't live this way. You did one time. That's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a church that says, we the only one. We the only one that dresses a certain way. We carry the certain Bible, and we got independent or Southern or whatever they put on their sign, and we're, hey man, we're the best church I know. Well, number one, the church is the people. And number two, you ain't better than nobody. I'm gonna tell you this, you know what it'll do when you really see the righteousness of Christ, it'll say, woe is me, as Isaiah said. That's what it says. See, here's the thing. Self-righteousness only builds you up. I used to preach a lot of it. I don't even know what my motive was besides that I thought that this would straighten people out. And then I figured out I ain't even straightened out unless God straightens me out. That woman was bowed down for 18 years. That means she could in no wise lift herself. She couldn't. I mean, she was completely unable, brother. And it said Satan had bound her for 18 years. Did you hear what I said? Satan bound her for 18 years. It was a physical infirmity. She could no wise lift herself. Amen. And no doubt when she went, amen, and went out, she was like this. And the Bible said Jesus healed her. And this is what it says. And he made her straight. Mm-hmm. You know what will make you straight this morning? Straight up with God. Is he speak to you and touch you. Amen. The only reason that a brother, thank God, that woman could ever get up is because he done it. Amen. But self-righteousness don't see beyond who they are. God, give us a heart of humility. Give us a heart of humility. That means that I am before God as a needy man. Needy. You know what? You know, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what a dull you and me. Sin will. Sin will dull us. Ain't much repenting no more. Repenting has got to be granted by God and give grace to do it. You ain't going to do it unless God touches you in conviction and gives you grace to do it. Can I give you this? I think I'm right. Salvation is a one-time act of God in a man's heart to bring him to Christ and give him righteousness. That means that he imputed righteousness and he put righteousness on your account. Listen, God ain't going to race that out. He's done it for you. Amen. Listen, hey God, Paul was a self-righteous man. He said, if anybody could boast, I the more. If I could stand and boast of what I did, I could do it more than anybody else. I was so zealous in it and so, hey God, amen, committed to it. I thought I was doing right. Why do you say that? Because he said he'd done it in ignorance and in unbelief. Who once was a blasphemer. No more. Who once was a perjurer. Who once, my friend, persecuted the church and was going to do it when the Lord Jesus showed up to him and shined light on him. I'm just telling you this morning, amen. Hey, God, you got to have to repent, amen. Did Paul repent? He repented. He repented with sorrow. He repented. He repented, brother. He didn't keep going the same way. Amen. Amen. He found out who Jesus was. Amen. And brother, that's who he preached. He said, all that I did was nothing but dung. This is what he said in English language. The best I done wasn't but a big pile of cow manure. And it stinks. That's what it does. It stinks. You ever gone to the pastor before and walked around and smelled a cow manure? It stinks. I'll be honest with you, all manure stinks. Everything that comes out of the hind end stinks. Amen. That's why I'm just telling you that. He said, this is what he said. That's what my righteousness was. That's what it was. You don't like people to tell you that because you're too proud. But the fact of it is, you couldn't do nothing but cause a stink before God. Amen. Oh, I've heard people tell me, they said, I said, you saved? Oh, I go down to that Baptist church. I've been a lifetime member there. I said, you can't be a lifetime member. You got to be. The only way you can be a member of Christ's body is be saved. You ain't been a lifetime saved person. He was a sinner. I see that in the newspaper sometimes. Don't read it much. They say, this man was a lifetime member and he done all these deeds and goods. And I'm thinking, where's Jesus at? Why would any man need Jesus if he can do it? It's a self-righteousness. It's a religion. It's no good. And you build yourself up in it to say, I do this and I do that. Amen. The publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't say, I'm glad I'm not like other men. That other man did. You know what he said? Listen to this self-righteous attitude. He despised others that wasn't like him. I'm going to hit it right here. Independent Baptist is full of that. They ain't like me. Thank God they ain't. messed up. I'm going to tell you, and I was involved in some of that. That's how I can preach it. I'm preaching from experience. But in every group or every system, there's rules and there's regulations, and there's always a pope in it. And you've got to pass what they want you to pass to be in the group. You'll never have no freedom like that. If you can't be who God made you and let the Holy Ghost lead you and hear the word of God in freedom and liberty and let God speak to you and help you, I'm telling you, all you'll be is a religious show. Bless the Lord. I don't have but one answer to, and it's my master. That's who you answer to. Read Romans 14. Every man answers to his own master. I'm a pastor of a church. God put me here. Amen. And he told me, ain't got them my sheep, not yours. And I want you to give them spiritual food, and I want you to keep the pasture clean. And don't shear them all the time. I had sheep one time. I sheared them one time a year. I didn't shear them, but the man that come do it, he'd shear them one time a year. Boy, I tell you, when I started, son, I didn't know no better, and God still used it, but boy, I had them bleeding. Amen. Keep them out of the briars, though, but they didn't have no fur. Amen. That's where the money comes from. You produce them, thank God you get the fur off of them. When you shear them, you can't shear them after you thank God you sheared them 1 week, you can't go shear them the next. But they need shearing. Everybody is saved, needs reproving. I need it, you need it. Somebody needs to preach the word of God to you and me both, amen, and say, you ain't as good as you think you are, amen, and you need to get, thank God, your priorities in order, amen, and listen, thank God, love the brethren, praise God, do what God said. He said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, hang out alone, prophet. Self-righteous people. Three righteous. None righteous, self-righteous, and God's righteousness. That's in Christ. There's nobody can boast in Christ, but in Christ. There's no boasting. Where's the boasting? I'm a Jew because my lineage was to bring the Messiah in? No. Thank God for the Messiah that come through that lineage. But you're not saved because he come through it. You're saved because he imputed righteousness. He said they went about to establish their own righteousness by the law. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to finish. I don't know how much you read the Bible and how much you think about it. But Galatians, Paul dealt with them about what I'm preaching. Because they thought that they could obtain righteousness through the law and circumcision. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you why you don't enjoy God all the time. Because you feel guilty of not being where you think you ought to be, and you think you're keeping yourself with God by how you live. We live the way because God's in us, not because we do it. Righteousness is imputed. It's given. It makes you right with God through the Son. That's why we have righteousness. Abraham believed God is coming to him for what? Righteousness. So we're righteous because it's his righteousness. It's something he give us. But I won't tell you this as I finish. Nobody is ever kept righteous by anything they do. It's what he does. That's what grace is. Grace is the favor of God in his righteousness to us that we can live a life pleasing to him by faith because he gave it to us. And therefore we live it through. We live the life of God through us because he gave it to us. And that's God doing it. Everything will be unto him and glorify him. All right, a man in here. I don't care who they are. It's a preacher, teacher. Ain't a woman in here that's in any kind of teaching, singing, whatever they do, that'll ever be able to take any glory. Pastor Height will never be able to take any glory from anything that he's done. None. And Paul, the great writer in the Galatians, said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. God bless that. You'll have to be a little mature to take it, because we think we're doing real good sometimes. And there ain't nothing wrong with encouragement and telling you that I really appreciate your song and it blessed my heart. But you would have never sung it. You'd have never been here had he not put his spirit in you. You'd have never been able to sing it without the Holy Spirit putting it in your heart to sing it. And you never would bless us, because, listen, it's of the Holy Ghost. Who's going to get glory out of it? God is. Listen. Listen, this verse means is that in the ages to come, he shall show the exceeding riches of his grace in Christ toward us. That means that, listen, in the ages to come, that means, thank God, in the glory, amen, he's going to thank God, glorify his son and what he done for you and bringing you to that fullness. He can say right there, so white. I'm just paraphrasing this stuff, because I don't know what he's going to say, but he could say, there's Ohio. He was a sinner. But look at him now. He's complete. He could say, I bless this man with the understanding in the scripture that he might teach these and get glory. I'll get glory out of his lips and his heart and what he tells them. I'm going to get glory. Brother Todd, the secret prayers that you prayed and called on God for us, nobody sees them but God. when we get there, he's got the record.
That's right.
That little old song you sing the other night, bless my heart. Can I tell you this? Listen to this. I'm glad you're playing basketball, okay? But God made you for that. He said, I'm going to take this young man and let him glorify me with his abilities that I gave him to bless this church people, because they're my people, because I love them, because this young man can stand up and say, this man called me to preach for him. And God says, I done that I might glorify my son in him using the gift that I put in him to edify the body, because it's all me, because it's my body upon earth. Folks, I'm telling you, it's amazing how God could take any of us and impute righteousness and in turn use us in this world to glorify him. That's amazing. Have you ever figured your purpose out? Your purpose is to glorify God. Miss Sandy, your purpose is to glorify God when you go up there to Walmart and work or whatever. Listen, there ain't no such thing as a Christian motorman. You work on motors as a Christian. You see what I'm saying? That's just the way God sets it up. That's your purpose. Your purpose is to do whatever God wants you to do in life, and know that that's where, listen, thank God. That's why that one guy said, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents of wickedness. That's my purpose. the righteousness of God, amen, been imputed to Hyde. Hyde, I want you to preach, amen, and that's going to be me. Find your purpose, you, in life as a good housewife, a cook. That's right. Do you know, listen, I want to tell y'all, ladies, here. Do you know God's going to reward you as much for cooking a nice meal for your family as he would me preaching the gospel message? Every work, he even said he would not let a cold glass of water be gone by without being rewarded. If you give me a cold glass of water, amen, in the name of Christ, you'll be rewarded. Why he done it to you? Just realize this is my purpose. He put his righteousness in me. This is my purpose. This is why I live. And God blesses us with good things while we live. But that's his purpose. Amen. You're not here by accident. You ain't not in this church by accident. You're here for his purpose. And that's 8:28 in the book of Romans, according to his purpose. Bless the Lord. I love you. Thank you for coming this morning. Let's have prayer. Let's stand this morning.